I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Utah back in the Pac-12 championship game 4 out of the last 5 years. And if you listen to Kyle Whittingham yesterday, he says 4 years in a row because he doesn't count the COVID year. Said, you don't count COVID. We're going to count 4 years in a row in the Pac-12 title game, looking for back-to-back titles. But to do so, they're going to have to go up against a juggernaut this year in USC with only one loss, albeit that one loss to the University of Utah. Here to break it down, Scott Wolf, who covers USC probably longer and better than anybody else. You follow him on Twitter, at InsideUSC. Scott, how are you?
Hey, Scott.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. I guess here's the obligatory question that I think we all ask everybody who covers USC. We kind of figured they hit a home run on the hire. Caleb Williams, obviously tremendous quarterback. But did you anticipate 11-1 and on the heels of a college football playoff in year number one?
Well, everybody's saying no, but, you know, the thing is, they've been favored in every game but one game, and they lost the game they weren't favored in, which was Utah. So I think that's about what was expected when you look at the 26 transfers and, you know, Caleb, let's be honest, Caleb Williams has exceeded expectations, and I think he saved them in several games, so... That's where I think the difference is, or maybe the surprise, is just in consistently almost every game. And basically they're relying on him to just outscore teams or come up with magical plays to get them out of trouble.
No Travis Dye in this game, but other than that, how healthy is USC?
You know, they're pretty healthy because Eric Gentry, the linebacker who got hurt in the Utah game, he played quite a bit last weekend, and he wasn't 100%, but he had 9 tackles, and he makes a big difference with the defense because once he's out, they drop at linebacker. So they're in pretty good shape physically. They did, you know, lose some guys at the Utah game, but now – most of those guys are back now from the ankle injuries that they had, so including Jordan Addison and Mario Williams. So they're in pretty good shape going into this game.
The look, there's obviously a lot riding on this game. Certainly a conference championship, college football playoff, everything at stake for USC. Do you feel that sense of urgency from this team with everything on the line going into this game? And plus a chance to kind of essentially – clean up their resume with their one loss being to Utah, and you can essentially erase that with a win in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot riding on it. I mean, I think the flip side is Utah almost has no pressure in a way going into this game. So it's going to be a question, I think, of how USC handles all the expectations being on them in this game. But, you know, even with that pressure, it's such a luxury when you have Caleb Williams at quarterback. So they know they can make mistakes on defense, and he'll still probably bail them out most of the time. So it's probably a good pressure to have going into the game.
You talked about their transfer portal players, and the sheer number is astounding. And not just the number, but what those transfer portal players are doing to bolster this team and get it to where they've been able to get. When you saw Lincoln Riley and you saw this USC staff really dipping into the portal, did you feel like there was a real possibility that they could have this much success with that many transfer portal players?
Well, I mean, I just didn't think they'd get it. I didn't anticipate 26 guys, and I didn't think they'd get Jordan Addison, who won the Biletnikoff Award. You know, I thought he would either go pro or stay at Pitt. So they've really exploited this new world with NIL and all this stuff. And, you know, Travis Dye is one of the top backs, and, you know, he gets hurt. And then they have Stanford's Austin Jones the last two games, and he's gained like 274 yards in the last two games. So Eric Gentry's from Arizona State. So, you know, they're relying on guys. Now they're starting a guy named Bryson Shaw at safety, who was at Ohio State last year. So at all the key spots almost, they are relying on transfers. And maybe that's their biggest credit to them, is they're getting these transfers to step up and perform. Now, at the same time, there are some transfers who haven't done anything. And you look at Terrell Bynum, he was at Washington last year. He's had a very small role this season. So it doesn't always work for the transfers, but the top five or six guys have made big contributions.
Scott Wolf joining us, covering USC. Obviously, the concern here for USC is on the defensive side. Have you seen any sense of improvement? I know the scoreboard may not show it, but have you seen signs of improvement defensively from USC over the late stages of the season, or is this just kind of who they are, just kind of hold on for dear life at stretches during the game?
Well, the UCLA game was a shambles defensively, but the thing that really, I thought, surprised me and some other people Saturday against Notre Dame was they did a pretty good job against the run, which everyone thought Notre Dame was going to gain a lot of yards rushing. Now, Drew Pine had completed his first 15 passes of the game, and I think he was like 23 of 26. So they were still vulnerable to the pass, but I think they have gotten better against the run. And to me, that's going to be an interesting matchup, because I think Utah is going to want to run the ball on that defense. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins that battle, or if USC can contain them without getting hurt too bad. But USC has been poor against the run up until the last couple weeks against UCLA and Notre Dame, who are both strong running teams.
When you look at this Pac-12 championship game and this matchup, just knowing it is a playback, and knowing what Utah was able to do in that first game, and it was close, you know, going for a two-point conversion and all the things that played out, how likely do you feel there's a repeat of what we saw first time? Very good game, very competitive game with Utah with the outcome.
I don't know. I don't think it's – I personally don't think it's going to be possible to top that first game. That game was, to me, the game of the year, and so close and exciting. To me, the whole game, I don't know, maybe I'm being too simple, but I think Cam Rising is going to kind of determine the game, because if he plays like he did the first time, I think Utah has a pretty good chance to win. But if he throws some interceptions, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. He can't turn the ball over this time. So I don't know. I think if he plays like he did the first time, I think Utah's going to be in a good position. But USC has, you know, a plus 24 turnover margin this season, which is crazy. So they kind of live off turnovers to bail out the defense. So if he can just avoid those, you know, crushing interceptions, then I think they'll be in the game the whole time.
So it's interesting, and I know you're in the middle of this with the whole Big Ten thing in USC. Put your shoes in the, you know, pretend you're the Colorado AD or you're the Arizona or Arizona State AD, and you have no skin in this game outside of what's best for the Pac-12. Do you want USC to win this game because of the financial windfall that comes to the conference and maybe reestablishing the conference's name a little bit? Or are you a little cranky because USC's got one foot out the door to the Big Ten and essentially the team that could be representing your conference in the Pac or in the college football playoff is going to be leaving you for greener pastures in 2 years?
Well, I know how the fans would feel, but I think the ADs, all they care about is money. So I think they'll be happy with whatever puts more money in their pockets, to be honest. So, and they all know, you know, they won't have to see USC again after next year. So whatever they do, however good they are, they'll be somebody else's problem. So I think they want the money. That's all that matters. I mean, that's all that matters to USC is they want that $100 million from the Big Ten. So everybody these days, all they care about is money, unfortunately. And I don't think it's good for college football. And I think it's made it less fun as a fan because you can't really root for a player for 3 years, 4 years without worrying that they're going to transfer. And the transfer portal's already crazy this week. And some teams are still playing. So, yeah, they're going to take the cash if they can.
So the last two games, UCLA and Notre Dame, Austin Jones has gone 20-plus carries and 120-plus yards. Has he just improved as a player? Is it just a matter of him getting the reps? And do you feel like he is a reliable running back now that can give you 20 carries and 120 yards?
Yeah, I got to admit, I was not impressed with him at all the first 9 or 10 games of the season. I didn't think he showed anything. I thought he looked slow. But ever since Travis Dye got hurt, he has stepped up, and he's done a good job. And maybe he just needed, you know, to get those carries and kind of be the focus of the running game to do it. And he has looked good. He's been lively in the last two games, and you know, I didn't expect that. And that's a little something extra now that, you know, people assume they were going to go south in the running game when Travis Dye got hurt. Now he's as good still, but teams can't just ignore him or take him for granted either. So, you know, he's done a good job the last 2 weeks.
So this question may be outside of your scope, and if so, just feel free to let us know. But is the Regents' decision on UCLA, and I know, again, UCLA's out of your landscape a little bit, but is that decision, is that just grandstanding and they're going to eventually just, you know, let UCLA do what they want, which I think is the case, or is there any real concern that that Board of Regents might say, no, you can't go to the Big Ten?
Well, I think, you know, they probably, it'll be the safe thing for them would be to do nothing. But, I mean, I think the other alternative is they're going to make UCLA pay Cal some of that money they're getting. And the interesting thing about that is depends on how much they ask for, because what happens if they ask for more than what it's worth going to the Big Ten for? And, you know, they would maybe make more if they stayed in the Pac-12. I don't think they're going to stay in the Pac-12, but I could see the Regents trying to kind of make everybody happy and saying, well, Cal deserves this amount of money and you have to pay them and see if that works. But I don't know, man, when you get all these bureaucrats in a room together, you never know what's going to happen.
Vegas kind of splits L.A. and Utah. Vegas might be 45 minutes, an hour closer, but Utah fans have bought up the tickets and they travel well. What kind of crowd split are you expecting on Friday for this championship game?
Well, I know quite a few USC fans are going to the game, but I still expect Utah fans are going to dominate the crowd. I don't know exactly what it'll be, but my expectation is when you walk in, you're going to see a lot of people in Utah colors, and they're going to be making the most noise. So that's just been my experience with Utah since they moved into the conference, basically. So I would be surprised. I mean, I think USC sold their initial allotment, which was like 3,500 tickets, and then they asked for a few more. But I still think Utah is going to outdraw them.
Do you think the place will be packed in?
Yeah, I heard it's very close to being sold out right now. So, and they had a good crowd last year, I remember, at the game. So, and this game is arguably bigger. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good crowd.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, Scott. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I hope it's a great game.
Absolutely.
I think it will be.
Scott Wolf joining us. You follow him on Twitter, at InsideUSC. Has been covering USC for a long, long time.
The last three games, Scotty, this running back I'm talking about, this Austin Jones.
Yeah.
He's averaging 6.2 yards a carry and 115 yards a game.
It's not bad.
Through the last three games.
Not bad.
He's really picked up the slack. Started to pick up the slack in that game against Colorado, and then UCLA and Notre Dame went off for 120 against UCLA, 154 against Notre Dame with a couple of touchdowns. He's good, and if USC can establish the run game and if they can start to eat some of that clock and give Caleb Williams the mobility out of the play-action game, I can't imagine, if you're setting a pocket, I can't imagine that Utah is going to allow any edge relief for Caleb Williams to get out to the outside. The way you're going to get Caleb to the outside is going to be through play-action rollouts and movements to the outside. If that run game's really hitting and those play-actions are fluid to the outside, USC's probably going to get 40 points on the board again. And then it's going to be up to Utah to try to match it. And I don't think you can get in a scoring game with this USC offense right now.
No, you do not.
Remember, you beat them 43-42 last time you played them, but that was off the back in the heels of 400-plus passing yards from Cam Rising and 230-plus yards receiving from Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, but knowing all of that, why did you win 43-42? Because you didn't trust going up against that offense in overtime.
And you went for the two-point
conversion. Went for the two-point conversion to win the game.
You also didn't trust your field goal kicker a lot in that game, which made you make some decisions that might have put some touchdowns on the board. Yeah. Who knows? I can't remember exactly how that game went, but they did not trust their field goal kicker, and I still am shocked that they went for two. There were so many people that claimed that they knew that that was going to be the case. I was shocked when they lined up and went for two, and it ended that game against USC. I didn't expect it in regulation. And remember, it took 15 fourth-quarter points, including that two-point conversion, to get in that game and to end that game. It is going to be a dogfight. I do expect Clark Phillips to be available, and I do expect Dalton Kincaid to be available. I expect both those guys to be on the field for the University of Utah. So that's good news. But still, it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be a really fun game, and I hope that Utah fans get there early, and I hope that when Utah runs out on the field for warm-ups, they feel that same energy that you talked about yesterday.
I really think one of them, there were a lot of great storylines coming out of that Utah-USC game, but I think Utah fans deserve a big, piece of the credit why Utah won that game. That fan base is incredible. Absolutely incredible, and one of the more daunting home field advantages in all of college football. And they played a factor in that game. And if they have a high level of of fans in that game. You know, you got Scott Wolf saying, like, yeah, you know, USC fans are going to come, but Utah fans will probably dominate again.
Were you guys surprised by that?
You can have that level. A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A one-loss USC team, I would have thought would draw better, a little bit better, I guess.
I almost feel like, Lloyd, it would take a couple of years of Lincoln Riley doing this to reignite that USC fan base that was crazy in the early 2000s.
You think fans are just a little lukewarm still?
I do. They've gone through a lot of poor seasons, including, what was it, a four-win season last year?
Yep.
So I think USC fans probably a little bit shell-shocked. But you give them 2-3 years of this, then Vegas would probably be a different story. I would have suspected a 60-40 split, USC to Utah. But I'm not really good at fan base splits. But according to Wolf, he's saying that he expects Utah fans to dominate that stadium. And that would be great. To your point with the fan base, the crowd support, and what it meant, it led to 12. It led to 12 flags for 100 yards.
Ooh.
A full football field of penalties.
That's a bunch. All right, live here at UFirst Credit Union, presenting sponsor of the World Cup updates. So many great services available here. We'd love for you to come by, hang out, find out what they can do for you. One great thing, too, is, look, there's a lot of us out there that have been with the same financial institution forever, you know, for decades. And you're thinking, okay, I have bill pay. I have all this stuff that goes through my checking account and my savings account. I don't want to go through the hassle of switching financial institutions. One thing that they've got here is an opportunity to take that and make it completely seamless. When you're ready to make the jump, they will make it completely seamless for you, so you don't have any, you know, missed payments. You don't have any issues on direct deposit or any of that. It's a really seamless process for you to be able to switch institutions and then become more than just a number. You're an actual person that you can, that, you know, that you can have a conversation with, that they can work through on this. So a lot going on here at UFirst Credit Union.
Well, there are so many different promotions that they have going on. You can get up to $150 when you use a new debit or credit card 25 times per month. Get up to $150.
Wow.
Think about that. You're putting money in your account by using your debit card. Everybody uses their debit card 25 times a month, and you can get money put back by using that debit card. You get 3% cash back on balance transfers. How great is that?
That's awesome.
Zero transfer fees, no annual fees. So if you feel like your bank is feeing you to death, understand that you can come to UFirst Credit Union. You can reduce those fees. You can get the hometown feel and care that you deserve. We've been encouraging people, if you've got an auto loan or you've got another loan that you feel like you're getting beat to death with, come to UFirst Credit Union. Let them see it. Let them do their work and see if they can beat it and refinance it and get it going the right direction so you can get that thing paid off. Scotty, we've been working with UFirst Credit Union for a long time.
A lot of years.
This is,
yep,
our presenting sponsor, and we love these guys.
Yep.
And I want people out there to understand why we love them. They're fair. They're honest. Their fees are as low as your fees can possibly be, and they're always looking to give back to you. Great incentives.
It's all right here at UFirst Credit Union. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Champs on three. One, two, three. Champs!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotting, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Lloyd, you don't have to spin the wheel until we ask to spin the wheel.
Hey, it's for sound effects. Don't worry about it. Worry about it.
Is that a trial run to make sure the ball is still round?
Yes, it still works. Just making sure it still works.
Okay. Wheel is still turning?
Yeah, I had to grease the ball a little bit. It was sticking a little bit.
Hey, Scotty, serious question. So we're out in public today. I've had two people comment that I look extra chubby or extra thick. They said thick or big.
No, they did not.
Is it the shirt? Does this shirt make me look big?
No, we're not doing this. No, that's not anything what they said.
Are you a thick boy?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, it's a thing.
Doesn't sound right. Like a gang or what? I've never heard of it.
Isn't that what Cam Rising calls
it? Yes, Cam Rising is known as thick boy.
Oh, okay. I've had two people.
That's THICC BOI, I think.
On my size. But you don't feel like this shirt? It's this shirt.
Or we're not doing this.
Is the shirt too tight on me?
No, sure looks good. You look good.
Appreciate that.
We doing this affirmation show?
When we get out in public, it's always hard.
Feel the shirt around the bicep area, Scotty. See if it feels too tight.
I'm not doing that because then he'll flex and then he'll rip the shirt.
I feel like people meet me and they're way let down.
No, okay, stop it. You stop that. Because there's only one person on this show that somebody goes, you don't look at all like you sound.
That is not true.
Please, I'm begging you guys. Look, I know it. I get it. The voice doesn't match what you see. I understand that. I've come to grips with that. You don't have to remind me that's not at all what I expected to see from you. I get it. Big man upstairs gave me a really good voice, really bad metabolism. So let's all just kind of get through it together, okay?
This is my time to self-loathe.
I get a self-loathe because that's the only person who gets to loathe on the show. You're chiseled out of granite. I'm over here anchoring the show. Is the anchor of the show, like the literal person they drop in the ocean to hold the boat from moving anywhere.
Have you had two people comment on your size today?
They looked at me while they said it to you. They're like, you know what? I'm thinking about him, but I'm going to say it to the NFL guy because I don't think he'll get offended by it.
One guy said, you're bigger than the account I just opened.
me so hungry.
That's not helping.
Come on, Lloyd.
That is not helping. Having a good time here at U First Credit Union.
Yeah, we are. All right. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Jazz tickets.
It's time to give away jazz tickets right now. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. If you are caller number 12, you, my friend, will be getting jazz tickets to see the Jazz take on the Golden State Warriors on December 7th at Vivint Arena. Caller number 12, again, 801-575-ZONE. Let's get you those jazz tickets right now. All right, Lloyd, fire it up again.
Yikes, Lamar. Put down the Twitter machine.
Oh, boy.
So, Scotty, after the Baltimore Ravens loss on Sunday, Lamar Jackson headed out of the locker room, checked his Twitter, and saw that a Ravens fan wasn't happy about the outcome. He's also not happy with Lamar Jackson's current contract. So he tweeted at Lamar and said, how about instead of spending X amount on Lamar, we spread this out and try to build a functional team. Lamar Jackson promptly responds with, boy, STFU, y'all be capping too much on this app. MF never smelt a football field, never did beep, but beep, beep, homophobic slur.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad, right?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Well, John Harbaugh is now trying to clean up all the mess that this has caused. He said,
Let me guess. This is not who Lamar is. This is not the kind of words he uses.
Okay, I'll start with this, because I was going to start with his other comment, but this is a part of his comment. I think that's kind of reflected in Lamar's response, because what he said was just so out of character for him.
Here we go. Yep.
That's not the way he speaks. That's not the way he talks. That's not the words that he ever uses. I've never heard him say things like that before. I'm sure he's frustrated, just like we all are. That's just a place you don't want to live right after a game. I know he understands that, talking about Twitter. He did say, I talk to these guys. We talk a lot about football, but we also talk a lot about other stuff, too. What goes on in terms of media and everything. Really just begs I beg guys not to get into the Twitter world right after a game, especially after a loss. It's never going to be positive. It's not going to be a nice place. Twitter isn't a nice place.
No. No.
And most of these people do not have actual names. A lot of these people are just trolls. They might be a Rams fan trying to draw the most ugly things out of Lamar. And you got it. You got the response that you were looking for, because now Lamar is under fire. This is a homophobic slur.
Yep.
Typically, these lead to some type of suspension.
Maybe, you know, certainly a hefty fine.
Certainly a hefty fine. But we've gotten to a point where the world comes down on athletes that do this.
Yep.
Now, maybe Lamar scoots out of it. Maybe John Harbaugh's helping him get out of it. Maybe the Ravens covered up. He deleted it, but not before it had
20. Oh, no. You'll have a million screenshots as soon as you hit send on that.
Well, it had 27.4 thousand likes in a split second. Because I think a lot of people understand what Lamar's going through.
Yeah.
And a lot of people see a response like that, and they're like, yeah, he's got a point.
Yeah.
He should be able to say that back to a guy that's slandering him, that's coming after him. But we know that this is not acceptable in NFL terms, and my guess is there's going to be some type of penalty handed down from Lamar.
Look, when you first brought this up, I was thinking, you know, look, people need to be able to be on social media and interact. But the more that I see people behaving badly, and frankly, the more that either Lloyd has to call me or I have to call Lloyd and tell him to back away Twitter, the more it makes a lot of sense. Where your point is, look, you're dealing with a lot of weird bots people that may not even exist, or opposing fan bases just trying to get you to make you look bad and just draw you out. If social media, if you cannot handle social media without making a response that's going to cost you playing time or cost you games or cost you money, then don't be on social media.
Or a job in the real world.
Like, just don't do it. It's that simple. They're like, well, okay, well, you got to do it for your brand. Okay, fine. Then turn off your mentions. You don't need to interact with people. You don't need to see. There's options available for you to eliminate. All you have to do is hit delete mentions or mute mentions or whatever. You can be on Twitter. You can be on Instagram. And you can shut off comments. You can shut off your responses. You can close off your DMs.
But still disseminate your material.
And still get your material out there so you can say, hey, guys, I'm just hanging out here with my friends wherever, Joe Schmuckatelli's Tires, you know, whatever. You can still get out all your stuff that you need to, and you don't have to see a single response. You don't have to read a single response to you. So just shut it down. Don't read that stuff. Don't do it.
I have changed my social media habits dramatically over the last 3 years.
You and me both.
And it has really helped my life.
The mute button is fantastic.
Yep. And it's fine. I think it's 100% acceptable.
Yeah.
you get the people out there that say, well, if you're not listening to the opposing side of an argument, then you are blah, blah, blah. No. When I don't know who I'm arguing with, no. I don't want to know. If I don't know that person, I don't care one second what his opposing view is.
Yeah.
If I know him and we're sitting having a decent conversation and I know what to expect from him, I know some of his background and I can trust him, well, then maybe I'll take some advice. I'm not doing it on social media. And there are some things that just don't belong on social media. I keep seeing people on Twitter trying to get into gun control debates and all of these like political debates. You can't do it in 140 characters. It doesn't matter how much you try.
Yeah. Well, and whose mind are you going to change anyway, you know?
You're not going to change anybody's mind, and it's crazy to think that you can have those kinds of conversations and debates, first of all, with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Second of all, in 100 and whatever characters that you put out
yep.
there. Facebook could just get you defriended now. You want to get all crazy about views? It's like, I'm here for friends and family.
Yeah. No, I've turned off. There's this option where you can be like, you know, let's say you got your old high school buddy who's fallen off the deep end and he's on one, you know, extreme end of the debate and he just can't stop posting stuff. And you're like, I really don't want to see this stuff. There's this option where you're like, hey, it'll still list you as a friend, but you can mute him mm-hmm. and you don't have to see any of his stuff. Because the last thing I want is some guy like, hey, man, we were buddies in junior high. Why'd you unfriend me? Because you're a moron and you're weird. But you don't have to have that conversation anymore. You just don't see his stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Just give yourself a good social media cleansing.
Well, Twitter, I think, is about to change. For the good or for the bad, Twitter's going to change. Because Elon Musk is going to be bringing back accounts that have been deactivated, and by all accounts it seems like he's bringing those back.
And if there's a problem, then mute him or block him.
It's that simple.
Go in and there you can
is it really up to Twitter?
You can mute keywords, you can mute all of this stuff, and you never have to see it.
So I guess we have to be enraged by what Lamar Jackson posted. Yeah, you shouldn't put those things out there.
It's dumb.
And he should be smarter than that, 100%. Well, I guess, you know what, Scotty? Let's see what the NFL does.
Hold on. Let's
see what they do. Because if they don't, with this homophobic slur, if they don't do something, then it's this massive hypocritical world.
All right.
Well, we're going to penalize him, but not him. We'll penalize this, but not that.
All right, over, under a half a game.
My gut right now is telling me under because –
I don't think.
Had you seen this before?
No, I did. I did not until you brought it up. I did not see it.
I saw it at the very end of my just studying and getting ready for the show this morning. The very end of it.
Yeah.
I saw somebody tweet, "Oh, Lamar Jackson's in a little bit of trouble." So I had to dig up the story. Other than that, I hadn't seen it. This happened on Sunday. We're a day and a half removed from this.
Over under $40,000 fine.
Under.
I think it'll be over. No games. I'll say $50,000 fine, zero games.
I'm going to say no fine, no game.
Oh, there's got to be a fine. You have to have a fine.
Do you?
Well,
In this hypocritical world of professional sports?
Based on prior activity, I would certainly hope so.
You would absolutely hope so.
Yeah.
By the way, this is considered a homophobic slur.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this some of the stuff that you don't think that is... That definitely.
This is undeniably that. So what happens if the NFL doesn't fine him or suspend him? What if the NFL doesn't take action?
That says a lot about the NFL.
Well, yeah, because we're watching guys in the NBA who, one in particular, who used an anti-Semitic
slur. Okay, but you can't compare league to league.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's how you handle it in league.
Yeah.
The NBA is hypocritical itself. They're all over the place. They're all over the map. But the NFL feels like it's just as much.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell has tried to implement ways to be a more base disciplinary action, but it always comes back to Roger.
All right. Goodell. So, and again, I'm wondering, and I'm genuinely asking because I don't know the answer to this. I can't think of any. has a player been fined or suspended for hate speech in the NFL?
That's actually a good question.
I don't know.
Lloyd, I can't.
And if there hasn't, then it isn't hypocritical if they don't.
Right. Then it's just the norm.
Yeah. Then apparently you can just say whatever
you want. That's a good question.
Because I can't think any off the top of my head.
Yeah, not off the top of my head. I can't think of any.
See, because I can go back to Kobe Bryant in the NBA.
Oh, yeah?
When Kobe Bryant had a run-in with a homophobic slur, somebody on the right there on the floor.
Yeah, I do think...
That was one of the first big pushes.
Yeah, I do think had he done that now, it would be different.
Well, I remember even then it was fined.
Did he get fined?
Yes.
For that? Oh, okay.
Even then he was fined.
I was assuming he wasn't.
That's a good question. The NFL, you just don't see it. You don't see it penalized as
nothing,
much.
Nothing comes to mind. But there might be. I don't know. All right, Hans and Scotty, 250. We'll wrap this thing up right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Fun show today, hanging out here with our good friends at U First Credit Union. And remember to join Jake and Ben on Friday from 10 to 12. It's the annual Festival of Trees, which benefits kids throughout through Intermountain Primary Children's Hospital at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again, championship game. Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Champs on three, 1, 2, 3, champs!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hi. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you. Want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show. By the way, University of Utah just announcing on Twitter they have zero, zilch, no more tickets available. Their allotment is now gone. They have sold every ticket available to them.
Good for them. That's great. Utah fans are going to be headed to Vegas. Lloyd, Christian Cox, myself headed to Vegas. That was the sports director for the Mandalay Bay. They just called me. So,
oh, yeah?
We should have a studio ready to rock.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, excited about that. So we've got locations and all kinds of great stuff. We're excited to get down there and cover this thing for you from beginning to end. We'll be doing the pre- and post-game down there as well. Christian Cox and myself, Lloyd will be at the game grabbing sound. Christian and I will be headed over to the game after the pre and post or after the pregame show and get back and get you ready for the post. So make sure you keep it tuned to 1280 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, for the entire day of Friday because it's going to be really busy.
It's going to be hopping for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps it up for us on Rival coming up next. Big thanks to U First Credit Union for letting us invade their offices today. It's a lot of fun.
It's always a blast, man. And U First Credit Union, so many great reasons to stop by. I talked about getting up to $150 when you use a new debit or credit card 25 times per month. You can apply for that. You get the 3% cash back on balance transfers and so many other great things.
No annual fees?
No annual fees and zero transfer fees.
Yeah.
So a lot of great reasons to bank with U First Credit Union.
I'm telling you.
Plus,
all you have
field,
to do
man.
Is just walk in, and you'll find out really quickly why you should be here. And let's be honest here. You know, the other cool thing is because a lot of people get stuck with the same financial institution for decades, and they're like, I can't move because I've got my mortgage comes out of my account every month. I would have to spend hours and hours on the phone resetting everything. They will take care of all that for you.
It's actually really smooth.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're getting feed to death by your bank,
yes,
switch it on over.
And not in a good way.
And, you know, you've got great people like Don Taylor, who's the mortgage professional down here, guys that are here to help you in every area, in every facet.
You need anything with a mortgage? Don's the guy.
They got you.
Well, that wraps it up for us. Big thanks to, again, You First Credit Union. Coming up next, it's Unrivaled straight ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.